Barney.
Hey, George, buddy, you weren't in school. What have you been doing all day?
I overslept. Look, I need your help. I have to ask Lorraine out, but I don't know how to do it.
All right, okay, listen, keep your pants on. She's over in the cafe.
Change your mind, George.
Last night, Darth Vader came down from planet Vulcan and told me that if I didn't take Lorraine out, that he'd melt my brain.
Yeah, well, let's just keep this brain melting stuff to ourselves, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, okay. All right, there she is, George. Now just go in there and invite her.
Okay, but I don't know what to say.
Oh, just say anything, George. Say, well, whatever's natural. Well, the first thing that comes into your mind.
Nothing's coming to my mind.
Stop pity the fool.
Living in the 80s. My name's Casey Kasem, and I'm all set to count down the most popular songs in the USA.
I want my MTV!
Does Theo Huxtable live here?
Just say no.
Hello.
Basie, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Woo!
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Hey, where's the beat?
I'm a very lucky woman.
So am I.
Live from Members Only Studios, welcome to Living in the 80s, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s.
The best that we remember it. Woohoo!
We're back.
Yeah.
We're not just back. It's a big one.
It is a big one. You know, episode 150. We didn't want to just mail it in last week.
Right.
So we wanted to make sure the whole gang could be here, and they're here.
150. I mean, that's just, I remember when we first started, you said, well, you like on our second or third podcast, you kept talking about, well, statistically, most podcasts don't last past the sixth episode.
I used to say that a lot, yeah. Up until we hit seven.
Yeah, and then we are.
And probably from seven to like 12. I probably said it every week.
Every week.
We've doubled.
I'm going to put a new goal out there.
That's impressive.
1,000 episodes.
We might have to be talking about the 1880s.
I was going to tell you, I've got ideas. We may have to use them.
Oh, boy. So, Kevin, first, before we go there, part of the 150, there's been a lot of people that have joined us on the podcast, sometimes guest hosts or whatever. So, you know, we don't want to mention everybody because we'll forget them.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a rabid listener who's a little upset. So, yeah. Kevin, you want to share the conversation you have with Sharon?
Yeah, I was with Mom a couple weeks ago, and we were at basketball games for her grandkids. And the podcast came up. I think she brought it up. And she said, why hasn't Art been on there lately? I was like, I don't know. I said, he's really busy. And then she followed it up with, well, what about the girls? And I'm guessing she is meaning Debbie and Tamara. She's like, why have the girls been on? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, I was like, is she trying to become the program director or something of the Living in the 80s podcast?
Is she tired of us?
Yeah, my feelings got a little hurt. She's like, I'm tired of hearing you guys.
It sure does.
Yeah.
It does. So what she's saying is, I've heard enough of your guys' nonsense.
The banter is great, but we need the gals' input. Yes.
And we need Art's musical expertise back in here. Art, we need to get you back on, man.
Come on back, Art.
I know you can't make it every week, but I'd like to have you back on soon. So definitely.
I did tell her, I said, when we try to get Tamara and Debbie a lot of times, they're busy. You know, they're typically the nights we do record the podcast, they've got some kind of church function going on. So it's kind of difficult.
Tammy's always out living the life of a rock star. Debbie's out saving the world, Mother Teresa. So, like, what? And Art's saving the actual world from crime.
Yeah.
And the four of us got lots of time.
That's right.
Got nothing going on in our lives.
That's right. We don't have anything going on. So, Kevin is joining us via Zoom this week, just speaking of a lot of things going on. So, thankfully, able to get the four of us together. But before we get too far into the thing, I have an apology I need to make.
An apology?
An apology to my granddaughter, Lorelai. Lorelai listens to the podcast on occasion, but there is a Christmas episode a few years ago that I did with her mother, which is my daughter, Kayla. It was a Christmas episode, and apparently she listens to this every other day, that one episode. And I told her, I said, you know, we have other episodes, other interesting topics. And she just laughed at me. So I said, this past Christmas episode, I was talking about original Christmas songs from the 80s. And I meant to mention her in it, and I forgot to. And I told her to listen to it because I mentioned her. She listened to the whole thing, didn't mention her one time.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Lorelai, you're getting, like, front row recognition here. Like, we are only a couple minutes into this podcast. We are mentioning you, mm-hmm. Lorelai, because I love you, and I'm sorry that I left you out. But you do need to listen more often because I've mentioned you before.
Absolutely.
So you're going to have to go back and listen to every episode.
All 149.
This one, the other 149. And you're going to have to listen to where I mention you. Maybe I'll start mentioning you very often. Just maybe sure. different random yes. times. Maybe you're going to be like a podcast star because
love it.
Your name is being heard around the world. So I love you, sweetheart. And thanks for listening. On with the podcast, Mike's favorite part.
80s Rewind.
Since you are so enamored with this segment, I want you to go first. This is the part of the podcast where we talk about something in the last week that kind of reminded us of the 80s.
Okay. All right. Well, I will start us off, and I am prepared. It is episode 150, and I said I'd bring my A game,
mm-hmm.
so I'm bringing my A game.
Here we go.
Oh, all boy. Right.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, this week is the anniversary of, well, let's back up. Everybody remembers the Blizzard of 78.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Us in the Midwest probably don't remember the Blizzard of 88. But those listeners that are on the East Coast, kind of that northeastern part, New York City, New Jersey, huge. Let me give you some stats here. So March 12th started out as a 33-degree day, pretty mild for this time of year.
Okay.
But quickly plummeted to 6 degrees.
Okay.
Began to have snowfall. It got up to 50 inches in 24 hours.
Shut up.
50.
Shut it.
That's as tall 50? As that's as tall as me.
That's a right lot now. Of snow. That's wow. a lot of snow.
Pretty close.
That's as tall as me.
5'2".
Mike short.
Oh, that's 4'2", isn't short. It?
Yeah.
4'2". Yeah, it's close. Wind gusts up to 54 miles an hour. There was the average snowdrift, 35 feet deep.
Are you kidding
me? I mean, right we're now? Talking, you know, the hub of the United States, the yeah. New York City area, 35 foot deep. The deepest one they measured, 54 feet in Brooklyn.
No way.
That's there was no sleep in Brooklyn.
There was not. No sleep till. It was so bad, the rail systems shut down for 8 days. The telegraph infrastructure was disabled.
Did you say telegraph?
I did.
In 19...
And fire stations were immobilized as the horses couldn't get through the snow.
This is 1888.
It was the blizzard right. of 1888.
Come on, man. We told you not to stay in and... What?
He is so proud of himself right
he
now.
He was doing real good.
And he you know what? That right in there.
He was pulling me in until he said telegraph. And then the horse.
For those of you that don't know, I have suggested many a time that we do a podcast on what it was like to live in the 1880s. So which just slip that one in there.
Which has been shot down.
Repeatedly.
Yeah,
every yet, single time.
Yet here he sneaks. I like what you did there, though, because you had us. Right?
I had you, yep.
You had us. It was good. It was good.
What a heck of a snowstorm, let me tell you,
yeah.
back in 1888.
Still talking about it today, apparently.
Kevin, rescue us.
I'll try. I watched a movie recently called Fargo. You might say to yourself, well, that wasn't a movie from the 80s. And that is true. But the movie was set in 1987. So it came out in 96, but it was set in 1987. And Jerry Lundegaard, which is played by William H. Macy, is a used car salesman. So you get to see some of these classic 80s cars. There's an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra, a Cutlass Calais, a Cutlass Cruiser, a Cutlass Supreme, and then we had a Buick Century, a Buick Regal, a Chevy Nova, and a Chevy Caprice that were shown throughout scenes in this movie. Brings back some memories. I mean, Oldsmobile is like long gone. And I remember back in the late 80s going and looking at a used Buick Century. I was thinking about buying one, and I think it was out of my price range. So even a used car back then, a Buick I couldn't afford, but pretty funny to kind of look at how boxy the cars used to be from the mid to late 80s.
Your dad worked at GM. He might have built the cars for that movie.
My dad may have built that car, Kevin. Was it a
Oh,
gray
that's
one?
awesome.
Was it a gray car?
I don't recall. It might have been.
He built only gray ones.
He built all the gray ones back in the day.
Only
So
gray ones.
I don't know if you ever seen a gray car from the 80s, but my dad built it. It's pretty cool. All right, so here's my 80s rewind, and this is a moment that I've been waiting on as a Gen Xer, right? We're the solid Gen Xers, and we have this I don't want to say hatred, but we just have, I don't know, a lack of appreciation for anyone that's not a Gen Xer. And I think if you're listening, then we all appreciate the same thing,
Oh, we
right?
hate their guts.
We hate everybody that's not us, and especially like millennials,
Oh,
and God bless it, Gen
worthless.
Zs, but they're terrible. So this week we heard the news that there is a boxer who got pretty famous in 1985 named Mike Tyson. Like
Yeah.
him or hate him, love him, whatever, you can't stand him. Everybody's got your reasons, but regardless, that cat was a beast. All right, Mike Tyson. I mean, he's a beast, flat out beast. And he is going to be fighting on Netflix, stream on Netflix in July, to be fighting Jake Paul, the little YouTube commentator,
Now
millennial
we're talking
piece
about
of crap.
somebody we might hate.
Jake Paul.
Yeah, Jake
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah, he's just this content creator that started, he fights these exhibition fights. Now he's been fighting some pretty, reputable dudes, but always he's always goes people who are past their prime or whatever. But the fact that this millennial is going to be fighting it.
Yeah.
The way I'm labeling this match is Gen X versus the millennials, and we're going to beat the crap out
Tyson's
of
gonna drop him in the first round.
Oh, I cannot wait. They showed some clips of them sparring and stuff. Oh my gosh, 57 years old, and he is just, he's still Mike.
What are the stipulations? How many rounds do they go on? Are they shortening the rounds or
Tyson can
anything?
only use his left hand
Yeah,
or.
I think he has to hop on one foot, close the right eye. So, no, I don't know if it's a 10 round, 4 round. I don't. I'm not sure the rules, but I know that they're straight up fighting,
You got
and
a prediction?
it is a first round. It's got to be a first round knockout. I mean,
If it goes past the third, I think he may gasp.
I was going to say I am concerned with a 57-year-old dude going more than a couple rounds. I mean, that may be the only way he has. So if he runs for two, three
Right,
rounds,
that's what I'm thinking, do the old tough man 2 minute rounds or something where he can
but
recover.
I mean, when I first saw that, my first thought was Gen Xer versus Millennial. Let's go, Mike. Let's go. I'm Team Mike all the way.
You know what my first thought was?
What?
Guys night together.
Bingo, baby.
Let's do it.
Netflix
Yeah, for sure.
and chill.
So
Chill
my
right there.
thought here is Mike Tyson hasn't fought in years, and he was just such a furious beast. He's been saving that up for a long time.
Well,
He got a little something in the kitchen.
Oh my goodness, that
I'm
dude, he's gonna hurt him so bad his mom's gonna feel it. Like that's gonna be bad.
telling you what, I can't wait. I just that's gonna be
Oh,
it's
that's
gonna
July,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
July. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vision a nice uppercut.
Oh, he's gonna knock the crap out
Just
of him.
oh. Oh.
Beat that millennial down, Mike.
So mine is kind of momentous.
Here we go.
Saturday, I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Did you know?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. Going through the thing is just great. They've got a new exhibit that's got some of Eddie Van Halen's guitars. There's an interview with him. They've got the EVH 5150 stack speakers,
Sweet.
amps or whatever behind it. It's really sweet. And there's a hip hop at 50 exhibit that's really cool. But I did something, I went over the edge a little bit.
Tell us about Rob. What did you do?
I took two Living in the 80s refrigerator magnets,
Yes.
and I put them on, like you go to these souvenir places and all these gift shops and stuff, you can buy a refrigerator magnet. I may have popped two of them on the display there.
Now they know.
So,
did you put a price tag on it?
I did not.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'll be funny if somebody.
So, knows. Living in the 80s has been inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's it.
It's about time.
That's right. It is
it's about time.
Overdue.
So, if you're in the gift shop and you're listening to this podcast and you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, provided they're still there, take them. It's not shoplifting.
Or take a picture.
Yeah.
Take a picture. Let us know.
Or, yeah, yes. Please, if you do it, take a picture.
Did you by chance take a picture of them?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, good.
I'll
okay.
put them on the Facebook.
Oh, yes.
I am thinking say. The person most likely to do this is Jason Collins. Jason would make the road trip, I'm pretty sure.
Jason, hit the road,
and you know, I'm pretty sure you don't have to pay to get into the gift shop because you turn right when you get in and you're right there. So you can just go and take it. Just take it. Take a picture of it.
Jason, freaking go.
There's
to
two of them.
Right
one's going to be a little bit harder to find. But the other one's just right out there in the open.
It's just a couple hours, bud. Run up there and grab those and come on back and tell us all about it. That's oh, right. man. Great.
You could road trip. Go to the Browns game.
See that?
Go next door to the Rock and Roll.
Or just to make it free, just run up there to Speedway, get him something, you know what I'm saying? Hit the gift shop, come on back, and go. He's got a great
That's
story.
Right. Go get your little Rascal House pizza while you're there. It's a very good pizza in the Cleveland area.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, there you go. That's my You know, it's funny, none of our moments took place in the 80s.
And I asked, did Angie see you do that?
She did.
And
she thought it was funny.
Okay, she shook her head.
She just smiled and just looked at me like, I'm married an idiot.
I want to see somebody try to buy it, like them ringing up. Where'd this come from?
There's no price tag on this.
Price check. We got a price check on register six.
For an hour, they're going to be looking. They're going through their catalogs, getting on their computer and their inventory system. Nothing.
Good stuff. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. So we'll see. I would be very interested to see what becomes of those magnets. So if you're out there and you see them, get them. All right, so this, like we said, this is our 150th episode. We're very proud of that. And we thought we would do something that's very 80s. We're going to talk about date night. So yes. Date night in the 80s was special, something that you planned for, that you hope to execute the perfect date. And after we get back from this brief timeout, we're going to talk all about 80s date night. Hang tight.
Shall we play a game?
Hi, I'm Joel McLaughlin, the most excellent host of Living in the Retro Arcade. If you're into video games from the 70s through current day, this is the show for you. We'll talk about technical aspects of the games as well as memories, the best that we can remember them. That's Living in the Retro Arcade, available on all popular podcast platforms.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. As promised, we are going to be talking about date night in the 80s.
Woo-hoo!
Now, date night was a big deal. I mean, I don't know if you know, kids just say now that they're hanging out. Where are you hanging out?
We're in the talking phase.
What's that mean?
I think that was like in the 90s.
They're still talking. They're
Matt,
still talking before they're
got a young daughter. What do they do?
It's got to say era. You can't say phase. Like I'm in my talking era. Okay. We're in our whatever era.
Era is that what they say?
It's era. I don't get it. But
so
that's what
talking's first step. You take that first step. Ask her out and treat her like a lady. Even if you would go to a movie, you're talking.
Yeah. Well, no. Honestly, they say dating.
Is it dating?
They say dating.
All right. So they brought it back.
They do say dating, and then that frustrates me because I don't want her dating. But and then she'll describe things, and well, that's not dating, but they'll call it dating.
Okay.
And
oh, wow.
They say, we're dating.
It feels to me like I see groups of kids, like whether it's at the mall or at a restaurant or something, they tend to like run in groups.
Oh, like, absolutely.
So it doesn't feel like it's as much like boy meets girl, boy ass out girl.
Right.
They go on date. It's like a herd of kids that are always together.
That is true.
So, which is kind of safer for, you know, lots of reasons.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's a dating again. Because, my son would tell me, we're just talking.
We're just talking.
It looks like you're dating. No, we're just talking.
Yeah, okay. That's
it. Was there saliva exchange?
Okay. Kevin, you're a world-famous dater in the 80s. So why don't you walk us through what date night would have been in the 80s for Kevin Ackley?
There were two types of dates. There were the cheap dates. These tended to be earlier in the 80s when I was limited on funds. And then there were like the better dates as I got further into the 80s and had a job and actually had some spending money. So from the cheap date standpoint, believe it or not, a cheap date used to be taking a girl to the movies. Now going to the movies is considered an expensive date.
Not the ticket prices either. It's the concessions that are so dang much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tickets are pricey, but when you add in popcorn or a drink, it's like, it's going to be even more expensive than a ticket. So it's pretty crazy. So I'll kind of talk about a cheap date. Like I said, back then it would have been the movie. So what you do is you'd get up on a Saturday morning and you would find out what time the movie was going to play. You'd call a phone number. And I think they were listed alphabetically. So if you were going to go to a theater that had 8, 10, 12 theaters, you would listen to all the movies that were playing there and all the show times. You'd have a pen and paper. You'd be writing these down frantically. And then you would have to then call the person and say, okay, here's 5, 6, 7 movies that might be interesting to you. You find one that's going to be within that time frame of when you want to go out. And then you go to the movies. And typically, if it was a cheap date night, you'd go somewhere cheap for dinner, like Rax or Arby's, Zantigo, Taco Bell. It was kind of funny when I first started dating Diana. She pretty much, when they went out for dinner, it was to get steak. So they'd go to Ponderosa or York Steakhouse. So when I started dating her, she hadn't been to Rax or Arby's or Zantigo's or Taco Bell. So I got to introduce her to all these cheap places, and it was fantastic because didn't put too much of a hurting on my wallet.
Cool. It was a new experience. Then, he had never been there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Weren't you
now, like depending 21? On how many hours you. What's that?
Weren't you like 21?
No. I was 20. And she was 16 when we started dating.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I would get off work and go pick her up at high school. We started dating when I was 20 and she was 16. I tried to kind of keep that on the down low at the time. I remember I was going to take on a fancy date, and I told my boss at the time, I said, I want to take my girlfriend on a fancy date. Really what it was the prom.
So oh,
I
was wow.
asking her for a really nice restaurant I could take her to. So, yeah, so I was a 20-year-old at a prom. Maybe I was 21 by that point. But anyway, that's good times. Another thing that was pretty popular to do would be to go to putt-putt. Now, when we say putt-putt, a lot of people think we're talking miniature golf, which is true, but putt-putt was an actual trademarked brand name. There was the putt-putt type miniature golf, and it was the one where they would have like the different colored balls, and they would have a light, and if the light lit up and you hit a hole-in-one while your light was lit up, you would run your ball up and you'd get, I think, a free game for the next time you came back or whatever. And they typically had 10, 15, 20 video games. So you could kind of combine playing a little bit of putt-putt with playing some video games as well. So those were kind of some of the standard dates that I went through early to mid-80s.
Mike, tell us about date night for the young Mike Moore. Like, what could a girl expect?
All I'm going to say is you're going to listen to this and you're going to think, man, I wish I knew Mike back in the day. He would have helped me. He would have guided me through this process.
There we go.
I would have been so much more successful than I was. So let's start. Let's back up a little bit. It all starts early that morning, like Kevin said. But you got to go out, got to clean your car.
Oh,
that girl may not care about it being clean, but she's going to notice if it's nasty, dirty, and you got your fillet of fish. Even wrappers on the ground or the little foam container.
Yeah.
Or if you left a White Castle under the seat from the night before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Clean your car up a little bit. Okay.
Good call.
Great call. Next, you got to pick out your outfit, right?
Well, okay. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You do. I mean, you got to dress appropriately. If you're going putt-putting, you don't want to wear a suit.
Right. No.
You know? And you, no. If you're going to a nice restaurant, you don't want to wear your Van Halen t-shirt. I mean, you could.
Right.
It is appropriate for almost every occasion.
For every occasion. Mm-hmm. If you have a bow tie on with it, your money.
There you go. But there's a few little tips and tricks to remember. You might get a little nervous. You might be a sweater. I'll admit, I was a little bit of a sweater back in the day. Okay. Now, Mitchum deodorant was fantastic.
Mitchum, I forgot about
way better than Speed Stick. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. See, there's Mitchum. One I could have helped you out with back in the day. Your sweater. Mitchum. Another thing is wear layers. Wear a tight t-shirt that will absorb the sweat with a loose outer shirt or sweater.
Well, no wonder you sweated so much. You wore so much clothes. If you would have just wore the t-shirt, you might have been all right.
Don't wear pique shirts, because they remember like a red pique, and you get that little sweat pit going, that baby explodes.
A pique shirt?
Yeah, pique is like it's a weave of fabric. Anyway.
We'll have to take your word for it.
Right. Like a polo, it's, you know, it's a material, it's kind of a weave, and you get just a hint of sweat and it just like expand 1,000 times over. Don't want to wear that. Okay.
Right.
Now I'm a little vertically challenged, so one key piece is
4 foot two.
Four foot two. You know, depending on the height of the lady, boat shoes may not be the shoe of choice.
Boat shoes, yes.
What you may want to do is go with a high top. And I'll admit I've done this before. The young lady was pushing the threshold, well, I'd heighten the shoe a little bit on the interior.
What?
Absolutely.
Put some lifts in there?
Yeah, we'd lift them up a little bit.
Did you wear those hiking boots with the red laces just because they're...
Oh, yeah. No, I did not wear those. Everybody wore those in my school, so yeah. I chose not to wear those. Yeah,
those were pretty hot.
Back in the day, Avia was considered a cool shoe, and they had the highest heel on their high tops. So get some Avias. Slip a little something in your shoe. Make sure you got your ankle bracelet on. Tight roll your jeans.
Oh, boy.
You're looking good.
Wow. That's
okay. Good.
All right.
All right. So you probably don't want to be, you know, go with a pink or a lavender. It's the first date. You might kind of, you know.
Don't want to turn her on too much.
No. Yeah. No, you don't. See, maybe you go with, say, some light green. Kind of bring out the green in my eyes, you know.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So if it's a first date, I believe you kind of have to raise the bar a little bit. Take them to a nice restaurant. Say it, Damon's, the place for ribs. If you're from the Midwest,
yes.
You take a girl there. You know, you want to test her out a little bit. You want to see, what is she going to order?
Right.
You know, is she going to go salad on you? Or is she willing to dig in and just tear some meat apart?
The ribs.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
You know? So which one would you have preferred? The digging in on the meat girl or the, you know, the dainty salad girl?
I kind of like a little something in between. Maybe a salad. I don't want to see her exactly.
Order the ribs, only eat a little bit with a fork.
Yeah, and those little side salad.
Yep.
That would be a perfect combination.
That's great. That's good.
You like that part? Okay.
Love it.
If it's like your second, third date, kind of like to do maybe a little combination, like or maybe go for a little hike, a little alone time, a little holding hands, help her down the hill, and then maybe stop off at a little Tasty Freeze. You know, have a little chili dog.
Sucking on chili dog. Outside Taste Freeze.
There it is.
There you go. And so that's kind of what, you know, a date with Mike Moore back in the day would look
like. Wow. That was a lot.
So you got all dressed up, you cleaned your car, but where did you take her?
We go to Damon's, you know, definitely. And then usually follow up with a movie. You don't want to go to something really romantic because you don't want to compete with, say, a John Cusack or Roy Dobler. You know, type character. You don't want to have to compete with those.
Roy Dobler.
Yes, Roy Dobler.
Lloyd
Dobler. Him too.
His brother.
Yes, of
brother
course.
Roy, who's doing some time.
Uh-huh, yeah. You don't want to, you know, compete with him. So
I get it.
You got to be choose. Just something's kind of funny, you know, maybe a Better Off Dead, you know, is a
good Lane Meyer action, says yeah, Lloyd Dobler action.
I can compete with Marty McFly.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
He's about your height.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. He's funny, kind of cute, but he's not intimidating. He's not going to set the bar way too high.
Unless your name is Biff Tannen.
Yes.
Drops a hammer.
That's right. Well, very good, sir.
Yeah.
Matt.
Hopefully that was insightful.
It was
very
something.
Insightful.
More than you ever wanted to know.
It was something. Yep. So thinking about 80s dating for me, of course, you know, I was, you know, Columbus, Ohio, South End kind of a guy. I was thinking of the different types, like, you know, the first dates, then maybe the what we do as we had girlfriends for a little bit of a time, how the dates kind of change. Because when you once you kind of already have a relationship, but yet you're dating, it just kind of, you know, like now we have the, like we referenced the Netflix and chill, but back then it would be like, you know, it's Friday night. Okay, we'll go get something to eat. And if you already got a few dates on your belt, then we're just going to go to Cardo's. All right, we're just going to go to Cardo's, and there's a group there, and we're going to hang out. We're going to do our thing. Then we're going to slip on down to Blockbuster, and we're going to spend about 45 minutes to an hour picking out a movie.
Wow, that's a long time picking out a movie.
You ever go to Blockbuster for real?
There's a lot of movies.
I mean, that was kind of part of your date, because you didn't just download something. You didn't just, you know, point and click and it's there. I mean, you had to walk up and down, and you know, it was a process. You know, you had to walk by the adult area and just kind of peek. You know, that takes time, it right? Does. Just did not look
so there.
No, but I mean, but Blockbuster.
Should we get 9.5 weeks?
But Blockbuster was part, to me, was part of the date, because it was fun, because you kind of can see what movies they like. You can see who they're, you know, who they're thinking about, talking about what's funny for them, what's scary for them. So I thought the Blockbuster was a neat part of the date. And then you would, you know, if you're kind of got a relationship, then you kind of go back to, well, we always go back to their place, you know, and watch, you know, watch the movie, and there you go. That was always kind of like the steady date. Now, it's just when you're getting to know somebody.
Back up there to the Blockbuster. I envision this happening to you. I don't, mm-hmm. not, definitely not a Kevin. This would never happen to Kevin.
Okay, what do you got?
You get up to the counter, you're getting ready to pay for your movie, and they go, oh, by the way, we got a late fee. And that late fee's all the money you got in your pocket, and you can't buy your movie.
It's like, honey, you got to
do that. Well, same girl that you've been dating for a little bit of while, there's some comfortability there, and you know each other. I made it up. This is true, and I'm sure it's been referenced in 150 episodes, but what we would do is we'd go to Cardo's, and there have been times where I would pass the cup to all the regulars.
You remember you doing it?
I would pass the cup and say, hey, guys, I got a date tonight. A little short on cash. Can you help a brother out?
I do. I definitely remember that.
Red Cardo's cup. I'd pass it around. You know, build up some quarters in there, maybe a dollar. Maybe
the manager two. Would just never throw you out, maybe.
I would get some extra pizzas, that, you know, from people would leave a couple pieces. Matt, you want this? Got it. I would eat that. I would finish up. Mm. But I've been on dates where I would get all the money for the date at the Cardo's from my fellows, my friends, my boys. Hook a brother up.
And he was a good tipper when he had all this money.
Made it right. Yeah. But you get your money and you do your date. But when you're getting, you know, the first part of the dates, like in the South End, we would go to Southland Lowe's movie theater. Only had, I think, three screens.
Yeah,
three screens, but they always had a pass. And so they would have stack of passes at the desk, and it's buy one, get one free. Like, you pay for
now,
the one.
Now, hold on. That's the desk at Cardo's.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So go to Cardo's. The movie theater was in the strip right mall behind it. The right restaurant. Behind yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they always had this, you know, buy one, get one free pass. So you buy, all you do is buy one movie pass and you get one free. I mean, it was, there's nothing better than that.
It was. And interrupt you for just a second. At that Lowe's theater, even though it was only three screens, like Westland had like eight and mm-hmm. six, like across the street from each other, those three were like the three biggest movies.
Oh yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, this is the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But the three biggest movies in the country at the time were usually.
And we really didn't have, which came along not too much longer after, like a $1.50 movie or whatever.
Oh, that was
great. Oh yeah.
That was more of a later 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah, we didn't have. Well, when was Flickr's? Was that 80s?
It was the 80s. Yeah,
yeah. Because there was a place called. Well, they had you could actually eat, and that just blew me away. I was just like, you can order food and eat, and they would serve you while you're watching the movie.
The date really thought you were really impressed with me. Take your place. Like
and I've only went there a few times because that was high dollar. That was big stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if we just go on to eat though, I mean. If I was wanting to impress somebody, we're gonna, you know, would probably been like, go Chi Chi's because I can get, you can get those chips and salsa for free. And I'd be like, keep coming. You know, you get the water the, with a little lemon and a little sweet and low. And
what happens if she goes and orders something at a high ticket? Like,
whoa, chick. Slow your roll, what are you doing? Slow your roll. But Chi Chi's was, I thought was a nice, solid quality date. If you're just, I mean, if you're just living high off the hog, you're going to go to Olive Garden, which came out. I mean, that's, you know, that's crazy talk right there. And but you know, salad breadsticks, right? I know we're all talking about this. I may have been a little bit of cheapskate back in. I may have a little bit
cheapskate or financially challenged.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. And then,
Olive Garden's where I took Diana for our first date, because that was like the big. That's like, I really need to impress her. I took her to Olive Garden, you know, and I remember she cleaned her plate, and I'm like, wow, she's got quite the appetite. And it wasn't until years later I said, you know, I thought, you know, I was going to eat like half your lasagna or something. You ate every bit. And she said, well, I figured you're spending so much money, I didn't want any of it to go to waste. I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So
you knew right away she was a keeper when she was worried.
That's right.
Concerned about your financial status situation.
That's right.
Well, and now something else is, like, you know, especially compared to like today's stuff, we weren't, when you're dating back then, we weren't near as connected to whoever it was we were dating as people are now. I mean, like with social media, I mean, they're Snapchatting, they're tracking their locations, they know where everybody's at, and they send, I mean, they'll send, you know, it's nothing for these kids to send, like, you know, 50 snaps back and forth. They'll pictures themselves back all day. They're just, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And back then, it's like, you know, you would get someone's number and, like, you might call them. Well, you would call them on the phone. But it was funny because, like, the person that you're calling is not going to answer the phone. It's going to be like their mom or dad or stupid brother. And then you have to, you know, is so-and-so there? And then you have to kind of wait until they go get them, and usually they're just covering their phone. They're just screaming, and really it's the response, the time it takes for her to come to the phone tells you whether or not you're in, because you might hear like the muffled sound, like, you know, tell him I'm not here. You know, it's over, you're just done, just hang up and go. But I mean, if you get on, you know, you get on the phone, and she knows you're going to ask your mom. I mean, when you first call someone, mm-hmm. a girl like that, the only reason you're calling is because you want to go on a date.
You're right? Calling to say, hey, how you doing?
You don't just chit chat. There's no chit chatting, especially if you don't know it. It's we're doing date stuff. You know, what are you doing Friday? I don't know, what you want to do Friday. And so that first call, that awkward stuff, is, I don't think kids appreciate that, or they have that right now.
I don't think they do.
But that, because, and it's short, and then once you're even together, you're not near as connected as the kids are now. Now, we do go through a phase when you're dating where you talk on that phone probably for like 11 to 12 hours straight. Yes. you know, laying in the hamper room or whatever, you know, the cord stretched out. So we go through those phases. You fall asleep, you go to bed. No, you go to bed. No, you go to bed. No, you go to bed. And that's, mm-hmm. that stuff does happen. But it's a different thing than today, I think. But.
Date etiquette question for you guys.
Sure.
Do you show up early? Do you show up on time? Or do you show up late?
About 5 to 10 minutes early.
Look a little too eager, my friend. How about you? Is this where you needed me? How about you? Kevin? I know Kevin's there 15 minutes early because I just know him.
Yeah, I'm always early. Yeah.
He's out there with his map. Early. You know, he's got the...
sit back and relax for just a minute here. This is why you don't have many second dates. Because, here's the thing. You're going out with this girl. She's expecting you to pick her up at 7. You stroll your happy little crack in there at 7:10, 7:15. Mom's like, I don't think I like this guy. He doesn't respect you enough to show up on time.
Ouch.
And Dad's like, that's right. I'm going to go clean the gun.
Well, ouch. This is the way I play the game.
Here we go.
You show up early. Okay, you look too eager. Mm-hmm. You don't want her to think, you know, he's overly excited. She's got upper hand on you already. Okay, you show up right on time. She may not be ready. She's rushing. She's going to be stressed out.
Yeah.
You show up a little late. Then she's ready and she's like, oh, okay, he's here. Just a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. But if you show up 45 minutes late, you got upper hand and you go on to marry that young lady.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That's how it worked out for you, huh?
Yeah, 45 minutes late on the first date.
That's how you roll.
He was so excited to see me. It was ridiculous. She threatened that she was going to go ahead and go out.
You're in college at this point. If she was still in high school, you might not have played it like that.
Yeah, not as strong, but you know. Five, 10 minutes, definitely recommend it.
I do like when you're you talk about your outfits, what you wear. I mean, it was kind of cool getting dressed up, you know, for your date. I always had a couple shirts, like these are my date shirts. You know, like I had this like a paisley, and ooh, it was nice. Yeah,
I like that.
And then I had this one. It looked like paint splatter all over it. Yeah. I thought that was colorful. I liked it. Now, the pants, I had these, they all had like these baggy ones with pleats. It was crazy. And then
stonewashed.
I had some stonewashed. I did have some skids. I mean, there's all kinds. I did rock some skids there for a while. But I mean, and then either my chucks or I had these white leather shoes, which I thought were so cool at the time. We did the bolo ties, and we talked a lot about fashion over the years, but. Getting ready. And then you always, you gotta bust out your polo. I would polo cologne was kind of my.
Just save the things in the magazine for date night.
That's a good idea.
You know, the samples you have going up. Yeah. Just rub it on you date night.
Magazines, yeah.
Cut it out, stick it underneath, stay with you longer.
And then shove it in your shirt to keep it in there the whole night. She'll never see it.
That's good stuff. Yeah, that's kind of a glimpse. Am I allowed to tell my car story, or is that
your car story?
You got a car story?
Well, I did. Go right ahead. This is probably one of my first car dates. It was a double date. I'll leave all the names out to protect the innocent. But me and my buddy Keith Madden, and I just turned 16 years old, just got my license, just got my car. 76, well documented. Was yours 76 or 77?
Mine was a 77.
Okay, so I had a 76 Brown Mustang. He had a 77 Brown Mustang.
Yes, I did.
They were terrible cars.
They looked like turds.
They were just turds.
Yeah, it wasn't the best year.
Not again. Mm-hmm. So I got my car, and me and Keith, I only been driving for literally for a couple weeks, if that. And for some reason, the parents let these two girls go out with us. And so they're both at this one girl's house. We pull up. And we just think we are the coolest dudes on the planet. Pick these chicks up. They come down the driveway. We got the music on. Keith's in the back. He grabs his.
You didn't go up to the door?
Absolutely not.
Really?
We pulled up. They come out. Here they come. I mean,
another tip for me. You got to Eddie Haskell it. How you doing, sir?
Oh,
well, so nice to meet you. I'm just saying.
We did not. This particular day, they just came out as we was coming up. So there was no parental things in which I would kill my. That would never happen now. But we go up, they come out. And so Keith hops in the back seat. My day sits up front. And we look at each other, and I vividly remember the four of us kind of all looking at each other at the same time, like, this is going to be awesome. And we were all excited. Threw that baby in reverse. I backed that sucker out of the drive, and I forgot to turn the wheel. And smack, I smashed a van that was sitting on the road. It was a parked vehicle right behind. Who parks a van at the butt end of a driveway? That's stupid on their part. It was totally their fault. I smashed that puppy, and I just remember hopping out as fast as I could. Keith, you know, pushes up the seat. He jumps out. We both look at the taillight, and it was a little cracked, not bad. Looked at the van. It wasn't terrible damage. But we said, dude, we got to go. Let's go. We got in the car, just hammered down, and just got out of there. And that was the beginning of a beautiful date. I mean, it should start with a small, you know, misdemeanor. I think that's a great thing for a little hit and run. It's a great way to start a date.
Oh, well, Rob, I know we need to get to you, but Kevin, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
One, did you have a triptych? From AAA, so you had your route planned out. And two, did you?
Was on vacation. He was on a date.
What we're talking, Kevin Ackley here, the most prepared man there. And two, did you print out on a dot matrix printer an agenda for the date? Either one of those true.
The fact that he's thinking about this priceless.
I
couldn't afford a printer, but I think I wrote things down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I knew it. And you probably had it in the glove box just in case you forgot.
Step one, hand on knee.
I've actually gotten worse as I've gotten older, or better, depending on how you look at it. But I do like to have everything planned out. I almost planned out to the minute a trip that we've got that we're taking in May. So, with like where we're going to be at certain hours and how long it's going to take to get in between. So I am pretty bad about that. And I think I've gotten worse than when I was a teenager. So, but yeah, that's something I would have done. I would have written out the plans for the evening.
All right, Rob.
Okay, boys. I've listened to you guys carrying on about these dates and stuff. You're about to find out how the master did it.
Here we go.
First of all, you have to lay the groundwork before you even ask her out. First, you got to gauge there's kind of an interest there, right? So you go to school with her. Maybe you work with her. Maybe she works at Kmart with you. Who knows? But once you finally establish it, pretty much she's going to say yes when I ask her out. You ask her out early in the week, so you've got plenty of prep time. Say Monday, Tuesday, hey, you want to go out Friday or Saturday night or whatever? She says yes. So you spend that week preparing for the date.
Okay.
Now, when you're preparing for the date, you've got to have the appropriate mixtape.
Okay.
When she gets in the car, she needs to be hearing some music she's going to dig. We're not going to be putting 92X or WNCI on the radio and hear all these commercials half the night. No. 90-minute tape, not a 60, a 90-minute tape. You're working on it all week long. Got to have a good mix to it. You can't just have all love songs.
Nope.
You have some fast songs, something fairly current. You got to make yourself look like you're on the cutting edge. So if it's 1985, you don't want to play a song like Jesse's Girl from 1981.
Yeah, who'd do that?
I don't know who'd do that. Debbie would do that.
Probably. She probably checks.
Yes. And by the way, Debbie, thank you for doing the song of the day the last couple weeks. This week was Rick Springfield.
Yep.
Get some little songs on there you didn't know he did.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Anyway, once you're working on the mixtape, you got a little Journey on there, maybe a little Night Ranger, throw in some Van Halen, but you dial it down a little bit. Maybe put a little Madonna on there, something she might like. So you have to have a well-rounded mixtape. So say that the date is Saturday night. You can call on the phone, like Kevin stated, or you can look in your newspaper where the movie listings are. And you can see all the movie listings in all the theaters throughout town. So that'll help you determine where you want to go. Like, oh, wait, Back to the Future is playing at Eastland, but it's not at Northland. I want to take her to see Back to the Future. Yeah. So you make sure that you have the proper movie and theater lined up. You got the good show times. So the day of the date, I'm with you. Make sure the car is clean, inside and out.
Wait, real quick. Where are you getting your movie information from?
From the newspaper, from the Columbus Citizen Journal, preferably.
There it is. Okay.
Because it's the morning paper.
It's the back of the... Yeah.
Right. The Dispatch was delivered in the afternoon.
Yep.
You don't have all day to wait around. No. You also don't have all day to wait around on the phone while you're waiting for your movie time. So you get the morning paper.
More time.
That's right. Once that happens, you take the car to the car wash.
Yeah.
You make sure it's clean inside and out. Like Mike said, you don't want to fillet a fish box in there. There weren't wrappers in the 80s. There's these big styrofoam containers.
Mm-hmm. Step on that crunch.
That's right. She doesn't need to know that you had racks the night before that you were at Zantigo and you put down three Cholitos earlier. The mushroom melt was amazing. They still have it.
The last time I went to one, which was probably about 6 years ago, they did.
Wow. I like hitting the one up in Circleville.
There you go.
Yeah. Road trip.
There you go.
I like it.
Road trip to Rax. We could get our picture taken in front of it. Clean out the car. Make sure it smells good, too. Got to get that air freshener. So you walk into, your local Kmart. You get the air freshener. Make sure it's in there.
Hang it on your mirror.
Hang it on the mirror. Make sure that you're full. You got a tank full of gas. You're getting the gas before you get the car washed so you don't get gas smell all over your hands. Definitely don't do it on the way to the date. So once you have established the fact that the car is washed, you know what movie you're going to go to, you got to go shop for an outfit.
Okay.
Now, you don't want to try too hard. So it's okay to wear an old pair of jeans, shoes that don't look like they just come out of the box. Kids these days, they can't, if you get a spot them. On them, might as well throw them in the trash.
Yeah, you can't crease,
can't crease them, can't get any dirt on them, can't do any of that.
Idiots.
You get a pair of shoes, not too weathered.
Footed, so you don't crease them? How do you?
I don't get it. They literally cannot crease their shoes. Idiots.
That's right.
Idiots.
Didn't know that.
Depending on the season of the 80s I was in, I might have little Nike Legends. Maybe the leather Cortez.
Yeah, leather Cortez.
But you gotta look for it.
Red stripe.
Yeah. Carry, you know, your jeans can be a little old, but not old. Not beat up. Not with holes in them.
Is your cologne in your car?
I'm wearing it to the Colonia.
Huh? Okay.
Wearing to the Colonia. We gotta go to the mall.
Okay, let's go to the mall.
So when you go to the mall, you probably want to get a new shirt, new sweater, something like that. Maybe an Izod shirt. Maybe go over to Chess King and get something from there. Maybe, you know, maybe you, depending on the date.
You're not doing like a Levi's High already, are you?
No. That's like that's like homecoming.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we're not there yet. So you want to make sure you've got a fresh shirt, fresh sweater or something. It's okay. Maybe you just might want to go t-shirt, a fresh looking t-shirt, neatly ironed, and a suit jacket with your Nike Legends.
It's not bad.
You're looking good.
I'd wear it today.
Yeah, I would too. Mm-hmm. So once you've got the outfit, you got to go home.
I'm not taking that jacket off because I'm sweating. but
you're probably not wearing a jacket on the first date.
No.
So yeah, you're gonna have a nice polo, maybe a layer, maybe a t-shirt, a polo, or Mike, did you ever tie the sweater around the neck?
Not please on a date, an occasional dance. You might come walking in with the look, but quickly remove it. It wasn't a constant. It was more of a, hey, look at me kind of thing.
Hey, what was the Izod? I know Izod was the name brand. Though,
it was the alligator.
But was the knockoff, was that Lacoste?
No, that was.
Or is that a?
That was a brand that was Izod. Kind of,
oh, that was Lacoste. They're the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, we just short.
I thought one was like the knockoff one was fancy.
Yeah. Okay. Now they've kind of got Lacoste as the upper end and Izod is kind of the moderate.
Okay.
Polo, so
yeah. Sad, you know that. Go ahead.
Now, if it's a little chillier out, you got to make sure you have your best members only jacket on. Am I right, Kevin?
That's right.
So you pick her up for your date, which you have planned for 6:30 to pick her up. You don't want to show up at 6:45. You don't want to show up at 7:15 or whatever other random time you pull out. You want to show up on time, maybe 5 to 10 minutes early.
Okay.
Not earlier than that. You seem desperate.
Yep, you're desperate.
Now, while on the date, you still have got to play it cool. She needs to know that you want to be there with her, but she didn't need to know how hard you trucked. She doesn't need to know that you got up, washed a car, went to Chess King special just to get a shirt to impress her. She doesn't need to know that you spent 3 days making this mixtape. She needs to just think it's something you're listening to.
Yeah.
You got to play it cool.
Play it cool.
That's right. But you don't want to look like you don't care.
Right.
Once you have picked her up, you're going to take her to a nice place to eat. Now, you're a teenager. A nicer place might be 80s era Pizza Hut.
Oh, Amy, pizza is freaking awesome.
Pizza Hut in the 80s was a place to go. Maybe Mother's Pizza. Mother's is a great pizza place over on the west side.
Yeah,
okay. It was a nice place. So you've taken her to Pizza Hut. You don't want to be a pig.
Well, you know what? The Pizza Hut is funny because our pizza was across the street from Cardo's. So if you wanted to hang out with everybody, we go to Cardo's. But if it was special, you want some intimacy, you go to Pizza Hut, which is literally, you could see them from each other. But there's something about it that was intimate.
Yeah,
you
know the lighting.
All of your idiot friends aren't coming to your table wanting to hang out and chit-chat. You're going to be alone with your lady.
There was some serious romance going on at Pizza Hut.
That's right. And Cardo's was, you know, better lighting. Pizza Hut was a little more dimly lit.
Yeah, we all
like you're going on a date.
It was a glow, if you will.
It was a glow, yeah.
It was a glow, a red glow.
Yeah, there was a red glow everywhere. It was. So once you've eaten at Pizza Hut, you're going to probably go to a movie. What's wrong, Mike?
Where'd Kevin actually go?
We're trying to find Kevin.
Hey, Kevin's in the toilet.
Okay, go.
So once you have left Pizza Hut, you've got some options here. Mm-hmm. like, hey, would you rather go to a movie or does putt-putt or bowling or something sound okay? Hold up. So would you rather go to a movie or does putt-putt or bowling sound better?
Mm.
Kind of let her pick. And yeah. If she says she really doesn't care, say, hey, there's this movie I've been thinking about seeing. And what do you think about seeing Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
There you go.
Or, hey, would you like to see 16 Candles?
Yeah.
Or whatever movie it is. What if she says no to it, you have to have a memorization in your mind what time the other movies start.
That's tough.
Don't bring up a movie that is way in the future because you've got way too much time to kill. I mean, you could make out.
Yeah.
You could.
You could, but that may not work out well for you. Right. So you don't want to be so presumptuous.
Right.
So once you have determined whether you're going to putt-putt, whether you're going bowling, whether you're going to the movie, you do that activity. Then you kind of gauge her interest at that point. If she's sitting over there looking out the window like she doesn't really care to be there, you're going to take her straight home.
Yeah.
Now, if you're having fun...
Did that happen a lot, Ron?
Never. if it's going well, the conversation is moving along nicely, you feel it's a pretty good night. Just maybe mention, hey, would you like to drive around? You just go on a short drive.
Cruising.
Go cruising.
They don't go cruising
anymore. So you go to a place that has a lot of good city lights. Place for me, I would like to drive up on campus. The Ohio State University.
That's right.
So up and down High Street, lots of bars and restaurants, a lot of people, a lot of activity, and you're just driving through.
Just driving.
Now, she has a curfew, no doubt, because she's a teenager.
Right.
Say that curfew is like 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you've got her home by about 10:50.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a spastic dad or mother crushing you.
I am that spastic dad now. So, yeah.
Yes.
Silly. I respect that.
Mm-hmm. And so, how often would you bring the girl home late?
Totally not important. That's not a story. You know? It's not important.
So when you're dropping her back off at home, you're going to walk her up to the door. And then you're going to take her by her hands.
Oh, boy.
And you're going to say, I had a really good time tonight. Would you like to do this again sometime? And if she said, yes, of course I would. If she's got that love in her eyes. Each time I look
in your eyes. Yeah.
So, you're in.
Yeah, do it just right. Give her a little subtle kiss goodnight. Don't get too all deep and crazy about it because that could backfire on you.
Okay. Well, let's just say percentage of kissing on the first date did you do? Percentage. I mean, realistic.
I'll let others answer first.
Realistic.
Kevin, zero. No, I'm sorry. Go on.
First date, yeah. how many first date kisses was there, Kev?
Not many.
Not okay. Yeah, not numbers, just percentage. Yeah, okay.
10% maybe?
Me, probably 99% or greater.
Wow.
Almost always.
You were a player.
Well, it's you all that prep time I put in, man.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty high as well. I'm at least probably in the 90s%, I would say, at least. You?
I'm with you. I'm in the 90s, not waiting to the end. Usually you slip it in somewhere between dinner and the movie or just after the movie or maybe during the movie. You never know. See how... You get that look. You know the look.
Touch. That is very true. In the movie, it could be the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the look. You get the touch. You're like,
were we opening up the car doors all the time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When you pick her up, after a while, I don't want to say it becomes redundant, but you know, the first time, okay, he's a gentleman, but after that, they're kind of like, okay, I can open my own car door.
Really,
boys?
Yeah.
I open the car door for Angie every time.
Yeah.
Good job, Rob.
You got the key fob in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how it happens.
Oh, that's great.
What I do is I open the door and I get it and Missy's over there.
Wait a minute, I'm unlocking it. Hold on.
It's like, stop. It's like Footloose.
Click, 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 click.
That's how it rolls.
That's how it rolls. So that's kind of how I would do a date that I really cared about.
That's very good.
When you're talking about a nicer date, you know, maybe Pizza Hut becomes Spaghetti Warehouse.
Ooh,
maybe you do wear the jacket with the t-shirt.
Oh, Kahiki.
Kahiki. Well, that's prom date time, buddy.
Is that prom date?
Oh, I took a prom date there.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. So, I would say, you know, you got to up your game a little bit depending on the date. And
Spaghetti Warehouse is a good one.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yes, it was.
So that's kind of how I would approach dates. You know, once you start dating each other, like you say, it becomes a little more comfortable, relaxed. Pizza Hut becomes Cardo's.
Yeah, right.
And the movies become the coupon movies.
Right.
So it happens. It happens. Yeah. And she's pretty proud of you for squeezing out that extra ticket there, because you know, now you can buy some Juicy Fruits.
That's right. That's a little Junior Mints there.
In the chat this week on the Living in the 80s Facebook page, we want you guys to chime in. Like, what were your dates like? Like, how would you set up a date?
Yeah.
Were we off base? I think we are, between the four of us, we got a pretty good track record with the ladies.
It is.
So, you know.
And Kevin, he finally found one. It was great.
I did.
He did.
It was worth the wait.
You got to
keep there working. You go. We're going to take a brief time out, and we're going to take a little bit about what would be on a mixtape we'd make for a date. And there's some famous date scenes in movies. Let's talk about those. Hang tight. We will be right back.
Thank you for listening to Living in the 80s. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of those that helped make this possible. First and foremost, we want to thank Spotify for Podcasters for providing this platform, as well as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and about a dozen others. We also want to give a special thank you to Star1079.com and Roundtown Radio, where you can hear this podcast weekly. Also, be sure to check us out in our Facebook page, Living in the 80s. Most of all, we want to thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Living in the 80s. We've been talking about what a date night might look like in the 80s. So, as we alluded to before, you got to have a mixtape. And I've just asked the guys, and give us one song. Kevin, let's start with you. What is a song, or several songs if you wanted to, that you would include on a mixtape you would take your date on? Mixtape you would take.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one to start with. This would probably be my number one that I would put on a mixtape, and that's Heaven by Bryan Adams.
That is perfect. That is a great way to a girl's heart, by having a classic love song like that on there.
Look at that.
Very good. Matt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's no secret, right? I mean, I'm not the music aficionado here of the group. You know, those of us that know Rob back in the day, I mean, he just got done talking about his mixtapes and stuff. Not only did he make the mixtapes for, you know, his dates, but he would make mixtapes for us to share. He would supply us all with tapes of music. So I never really had to do that.
Because right there.
Rob would probably say, here's 90 minutes, bam, and he would hand you mixtapes all the time. So
it's easy when you make one to duplicate several.
Yeah.
Here, boys, here you go.
Because I never really had, that was never my thing. So I never had to worry so much about that. And I just, you know, but I mean, you know, when you think of the songs, I guess I a song would come to mind. Well, it's a, you know, a little mushy, but the loving, touch and squeezing, was that by Journey? Something like that?
Yeah, it was by Journey.
Is that Journey? You said we tried loving, touching. I mean, I guess you can't go wrong with little Steve Perry. Now, and before Kevin
that
says,
from the 70s?
Before Kevin says it, I guess it's going to be Mike.
Is it from the 70s?
I realize it was 79, but it got. I mean, when it came to my circle world, there was 1981 at the MTV Escape concert. There they had there on TV. I mean, that's when in 81's when I heard him wail it for the first time for me. So I call it 81. Okay, what
that's saying. Fair, and I, you know, Steve is a classic, so I think that's very appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, really, any, and again, like Bryan Adams, that little raspy voice, and Steve Perry, he's a freaking angel. I mean, I think anything you're going to do that he sings is going to probably help you look a little better than you do. So
that's an interesting choice, because Love and Touch and Squeezing, although the title sounds like, hey, that's the three things you want to do on a date.
I stopped right there.
Love and Touch and Squeezing. Yep, perfect. It's about a girl cheating on him, though. So I don't think you want to put those ideas in her head on the first date.
But most of the songs that I've kind of thought about for my playlist just really didn't fit. Actually, you know, that and Dead
specific
Man.
Girl names.
Yeah. Terrible. So
share with us one of those.
Well, okay. You know what? I may or may not have went out with a girl at one point in time. Her name may or may not have been Jackie, right? Actually, you know what? There's a couple of Jackies.
I remember that name. Okay.
So you're safe.
Okay. So yeah, I've dated a couple of Jackies. But so every time I would hear that song by the Commodores, Night Shift, he would sing the lyric, Jackie, hey, what you doing now? Whatever. I would think of like the Jackie that I may or not have been liking at the time. You know, I thought that was a daggone romantic song. Come to find out, Rob,
it's about two dead guys.
So I that's why I never put mixtapes together, because I'm thinking how romantic and sweet and cool it is, but I never really paid attention to the details of some of these songs.
So there you go.
Overrated.
We start with what you don't want on a mixtape.
I know, dead people and
You don't want anything that's sappy, something that could remind them of an old boyfriend. So you don't want to get.
Oh, you definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to get romantic. You don't want to sound desperate either. You know, definitely don't want songs like I Want to Know What Love Is. That's reeks of desperation. No Air Supply ever at any point in time. Okay.
All right.
And, or something like Paul McCartney's No More Lonely Nights.
Okay.
That reeks of desperation. And definitely no Cher.
Oh, okay. No. No Barbara Streisand, no Barry Manilow, no Neil Diamond.
There it is.
No ABBA.
But what I'm looking for is to mix in a group of songs that kind of have some subliminal messaging. Okay?
Here we go.
Mm.
Songs like Baby, I'm Your Man by Wham.
Okay.
How about The Kid's Hot Tonight by Loverboy?
Great song. And then you think of it on a mixtape, but that's a great one. And, I like where you're going.
How about Lay Your Hands on Me by Bon Jovi?
It's subliminal messaging. I like what you're doing there.
Snowball, how about Slow and Easy by Whitesnake?
That might be a little graphic. You gotta watch your graphic. Okay.
You gotta a little too far.
Little George Michael, I Want Your Sex. Or,
directly to the point, you know. Then you mix in some
subliminal
stuff, kind of like Rob said, maybe a little Lisa head to toe, something she might like, or you know, some Stray Cat strut, and you know, it picks up the tempo. And of course, you got to slip a little
Stray Cat strut. Never would have thought of that on a date tape before.
You're just keeping the upbeat, singing along, dancing in the seat.
You guys just missed a little dance in the seat, Jimmy. By
maybe Snowball. Some punk. You got a little Billy Idol, Hot in the City. That'd be a good one. Okay. And you got to have a little rock mix in there. Rob's favorite all time, Stone in Love. Good song.
That is a great song.
Mix in there, maybe another little subliminal song. Pour Some Sugar on Me.
There it is.
So, that's what a Mike Moore mixtape would say.
Which is why he didn't have a whole lot of second dates. That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of hypnosis going on there. I like that.
There was a lot of it. A lot of it. I've said this before. One song that I fit on every mixtape, Ain't Even Done With the Night by John Cougar. Say that's all right. Hold tight. Well, I don't even know if I'm doing this right. Well, all right. Hold tight. We could stay out all day. We could run around all night. Well, all night. All night. Well, it's time to go home. And I ain't even done with the night. It wasn't a huge hit in 1981, but you can tell his voice. And even 85, 86, 87, you pop that song on, girls probably never heard that. They're probably thinking it's a brand new song. Sounds very good, very smooth, very smooth song. So that one always worked.
I've got another Madonna one, Rob, and that would be Crazy for You, which was on the
Ooh.
soundtrack for Vision Quest.
That's
Yes,
good.
that did make it to several makeout type tapes. Yes.
A little desperate, but you know, whatever. Do you? I'll do
If
you.
you're already dating her, it's not desperate.
If you're already dating, yes.
Yeah.
First date,
First date,
no.
might want to avoid it. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Is this a first date mixtape? That you've got a that could be a little bit desperate sounding, but if it's something that's more established, that one works.
Or, if you're dating a girl named Sherry. You could do Oh Sherry by Steve Perry,
Oh, nice.
which, and you could stop and just full on lip sync it. You won't get a second date, man, but it'd be a great moment.
I had one on my list, which was Right Here Waiting for You by Richard Marx, but now I'm starting to think that might reek of desperation. So now I've heard from Snowball, I'm thinking, okay, that can't be on there.
Well, you know what, Kevin? I think that could be on there if you're on like a second or third date, and it's like you're going from date zone to steady relationship. That may be a heart melter. Yes.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there. There's an appropriate time to put those songs out there.
One more that I would say it's a bit unconventional would be Sweet Child of Mine. I know it's kind of like a hard rock band, but it's got that kind of like love song vibe to it.
He's talking about this woman that he just absolutely adores. That and you're a huge Guns N' Roses fan. She needs to know that about you up front.
Right. That's
This
right.
is
It could
how
be
I
a deal breaker.
roll. All right, this last segment here, we are going to talk about, we're each going to grab one scene from a movie that's a memorable date scene that we can think of that kind of has stuck with us over the years. And we're going to start with Kevin.
The one that came to my mind was in Valley Girl, and Randy, which is played by Nick Cage, likes this girl, Julie, which is played by Deborah Foreman, and he is kind of more of like the punk scene. She's more of a valley girl. They don't really blend together real well, and but she, for some whatever reason, starts to like him, and he decides he wants to take her to his kind of place, and he takes her to this club, which is probably not the kind of music she would typically be into. When I saw it back in the day, I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. He's trying to introduce her or expand her experiences by taking her somewhere that she typically wouldn't go. Looking back on it now, I think the better move would have been for him to say, show me what you would like to do, you know, and he tries to adapt to her environments more so than trying to get her to adapt to his. But that was one that kind of stood out in my mind. So,
That's a good one. I love that movie. And the soundtrack, one of the greatest.
oh my goodness, yeah,
So
great.
much good music in that movie. Which, you know what? You could almost play that soundtrack on a date because there's so much cool stuff on it.
I think I would probably look to there's a couple of dates in Footloose that I thought were pretty cool. And I guess I kind of led with the double date theme a little bit earlier, but when Ren and Ariel double date at the bar where they go dancing across town there, and they just started their. It was just kind of funny because you got Ren's buddy that's never danced before. He just did not want to.
Willard.
Willard did not want to dance. Couldn't dance with an old Sarah Jessica's out there, and it was just kind of funny when she starts dancing with that dude, and the big fight pops out. I mean, that's always a good
Oh,
stuff.
yeah.
You get a good fight. You got some good dancing. I like it a lot. But then also the other day, a little more meaningful. But see, that was a date that they went out dancing. That was
That's like a first date.
their first date.
Yeah.
But then obviously probably one of the best date scenes of all time would be the prom right there, daggone film. I went to, was it the Granary or something they met
Yeah.
at? I mean, that was probably one of the best dance scenes of all 80s to me. I love that movie, love that scene. And again, there's some more violence. There's some good fist fighting to start that puppy off. Then they come downstairs, last party. It's good stuff. So, gotta love a little Footloose stuff there, probably.
Yeah, good one. Mike, you're feverishly writing notes over there.
So, dating scene from a movie. We're going to use the movie Bull Durham. A little unconventional dating scene. You've got Annie, who's played by Susan Sarandon, and you've got Nuke LaLoosh, who's played by Tim Robbins, and you got Crash Davis, played by Kevin Costner. At the beginning of every season, she picks her man, boyfriend, whatever, and she goes with the younger Nuke LaLoosh. And so for their first date, she takes him back to her place. She ties him down to the bed and reads poetry to him. So not a typical first date by any means. Probably not what the young fireballer was expecting, but a very unique first date.
Memorable.
Yes. Happened to any of you?
Yeah.
Always.
Of course it did.
So my favorite, So one memorable date scene that I can think of would have to be from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All right.
So when Rat asks out Stacy, and he's so nervous, and Damone gives him dating advice like, listen to side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's a terrible idea. Because women love Led Zeppelin.
They do.
That's great.
So on the date, he forgets his wallet. Damone has to come and bring his wallet to him. Who seems very put out, like how busy he was. He was at home reading a magazine.
Right.
So he comes and does that. And then while they're in the date, he ends up getting his car stereo stolen out of his sister's car. And then when they get back to her house, you know, she's kind of enjoying Ratner. She enjoys the fact that he put in so much effort on this date. And, you know, they go do a little making out, and then he just abruptly gets up and leaves because he's just a nervous, crazy, scared kid. I think a lot of us, probably for being honest, have felt something similar. Maybe we didn't walk out on a date, but we've been on dates we've been nervous before. We've been on those kind of dates that, like, seem like everything went wrong. Maybe you locked your keys in the car. Maybe you got a flat tire. Something bad happened. But this is a great example of a disastrous date, but it was a memorable one for me. I think that kind of ties up everything for this week. Next week, we are going to be back. We're going to start talking about some of the best and some of the worst movie sequels of the 80s. So it should be a lot of fun. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining. As always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks to everyone listening for allowing us to keep going to episode 150.
Yes.
A lot of
good stuff.
We're going to close out with a song that would be great on any mixtape, especially on a date, from the movie Valley Girl. Here is Melt With You by Modern English. Thanks. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week. I saw the world rushing all around your face. Never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do. Hey, the car out here. It looks that way because you're up there.
You're old.
Mike, it's Mark.
Hey, what happened to your date?
It's happening right now. Everything's fine except I left my wallet at home.
Does he go home and get it?
No, I can't. I'm here. The food's coming in, everything. Look, would you do me a favor? Just borrow your mom's car, drive to my house, get my wallet, and bring it back here. Hello? Mike?
Mike?
Eesh, I'm really kind of busy, Rat.
Look, just do me this one favor. I swear I won't ask you for anything again in this lifetime or any other, but just please do this for me.
All right, but you owe me for this one.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks.